Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm telling you what, man. What we just discovered in the last 10 minutes is that we're a nation of liars when it comes to our jobs.
I didn't know so many people lied about their jobs.
Yeah, that's the one. I'm stunned by that.
Your chance to win the Flying Horse gift pack. That is our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. We will play a drop. None of you can handle the truth, apparently. And be caller number?
Let's go with caller number 10.
Caller number 10 the next time you hear you can't handle the truth. 913-576-7610. You're going to win the Flying Horse gift pack.
I do like the architect that got back to us about the troughs, and he says the troughs are out, not PC enough. Full-height floor-mounted urinals are making a comeback. But you know what? They slow the progress. And if you have the troughs, you can get people in and out of the restroom quicker and back to the concession stand spending more money.
Elbow to elbow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone says I'm a nuclear medicine technologist, so I lie because I don't want to spend 10 minutes explaining what it means.
Yeah.
I play poker semi-professionally, and I lie about it because people never believe me, and I have to go into further detail then to convince them I actually do. Someone else says, I'm a minor league baseball player. I lie because I don't want to hear your high school baseball stories. I can imagine that would happen. Like, oh, yeah, you play minor league ball? Well, I played high school. Yeah. Those would be unending.
Right?
Unending.
I think one of my favorite ones on here is that even Frank Clark lies about what his job has been.
Oh,
about
wow.
The 913.
Someone went with Frank Clark.
Here's a good one for the 816. I'm a chef and a brewery owner. I don't care if you like Top Chef. And yes, I get to drink at work.
Just answer those questions right up front.
Yeah.
Just get it over with.
Oh, that's really good. That's funny.
So you can keep them coming. Apparently more people than I realize lie about their jobs. So now when
you guys got a lot of great jobs out there.
So now when I go in to get my haircut, I'll realize every one of you are also lying about your jobs.
Well, I'm just looking at everyday life as I look at people at the grocery store. Like, you've lied to somebody about your job.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, you're lying about your job.
Yeah. I lie and say I play for the Cincinnati Bengals. No one asks me anything.
Yeah.
Could be the case as well. I hope this catches on. I have a feeling it's going to draw some criticism from the outrage culture, Fesco.
I don't think it is.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, everything draws outrage.
This is going to because it promotes rage
and violence.
The Wells Fargo Center accommodates the Philadelphia Flyers. They now have a rage room in their stadium. That's right. A rage room. This from their release. They've dubbed it the disassembly room. The concept is definitely one of a kind and non-traditional, says Valerie Camillo, Flyers and Wells Fargo Center President of Business Operations. We ran the concept by some of our fans who told us they thought it would be a fresh way to have some harmless fun. I've never heard of a rage room before the design team picked the idea. Now I can't wait to get in there and get a few whacks.
I want the truth.
They have built a room in which you can go in and trash stuff if you're angry during the game.
Now, do you have to pay to go into this rage room?
The room is going to be open for their home opener tonight.
Okay.
Fans can do walk-up sessions or reserve a time slot.
Well, how do you know what to reserve? Like, what if they're winning and then you don't want to go in there and, you know, rage because you're up 4-0 in the third period or something like that?
It is Philadelphia, though.
That is true. That's a good point.
You know it's coming. It's just you have to sign up for this. I'm gonna click on find tickets for this.
Yeah, I wonder
for their disassembly room.
Oh, that's what they're calling it. The disassembly room. Okay.
Should I get the best available?
Yeah. See what it is.
$35.
Okay.
Charging to go in.
And what? How long does a $35 session last?
I don't know.
Now, I think what would be cool is if they started to collect all of your junk, like if you had all these TVs that are old and things that you just wanted to get rid of, like instead of going to big pickup day once a year, you could drop it off at the Wells Fargo Center, and they would take your crap, and you could
trash it for you.
Yeah, they'll
trash it for you. Basically, there's like a mirror, there's some TVs in there, and they're breaking stuff with a hockey stick.
Yeah. Now, do they give you eye protection to wear for this? Because God forbid, a shard of glass
and a helmet too. Okay. The Rage Room style space allows fans and guests a stress relieving outlet amidst the game action. Through scheduled sessions, it can be reserved in advance. Mm-hmm. Participants wearing protective gear can smash, break, and unleash their rage upon everyday items like televisions and dishes using bats, sledgehammers, and more. Some of the items that can be disassembled might even bear the logo of an opposing team. I love how they're calling it disassembled, too. They obviously ran that through legal and couldn't tell them. You just come in here and break stuff.
Right.
You have to call it disassembling. But a rage room at the Flyers where you can go and work it out. I like it.
I think it's a good idea. I wonder if that's going to catch on, because wouldn't you like to have done that the other night when the defense was getting shredded, have a rage room at the stadium? They always talk about what can you do at a stadium and what experiences can we offer you at a stadium or arena that we can't get at home. Well, the rage room would be it. You don't have to break your own TV. You can go out to the stadium and break somebody else's TV or break somebody else's mirror or kick, you know, somebody else's stuffed animal or something like that. So I think that's a pretty cool idea. And for $35, you probably get in there and get a lot of your rage out and feel better about yourself. And it's done in a safe environment and you're not putting anybody else in danger.
So $35 a person, or you can do two people for $60.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a discount.
So you can go in there and get your rage out.
I wonder who came up with that. Like, what's that meeting like? They're going around the table and go, all right, who's got ideas? I've got a rage room idea where you go in and you break things. That's a great idea, Bob. Write that down.
Looks like you can buy, so they'll drop the puck at 7.
Okay.
So it looks like you can go early if you'd like to get the rage out early. They have 5:30, 6:30. First intermission.
So you get a whole half hour.
I guess. First intermission, second intermission, and postgame.
I don't need a half hour. I need like 2 minutes.
That's what she said. Ryan's gone today. I had to pick that one up. It's such an easy dish. So the rage room, I'm sure the outrage culture, though, will hate it because it's promoting rage.
Well, it is, yes.
But I think it's fantastic.
There'll be mothers out there protesting. They're ruining the children.
69306, I'm a politician. I never lie. We're misquoted, or what we say gets taken out of context, though, regularly. That's true. If you lie about your job, continue to bring those. 69306.
I'm a Chiefs player, and I lie because I don't want to sign autographs. I have a private life, too. A little late in the day to be texting if you're a Chiefs player.
It's probably not you.
Because, you know, if you're a player, you're 9 o'clock, you're in there, you got meetings, there's a heavy lift going on, there's a sweat being broken out. Mm. Unless you're, like, listening to us during Andy's meeting, which I really appreciate, which would be awesome.
Ray and Lee Summit, the latest winner, Flying Horse Tap Room gift pack. That's our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. We continue our 60th anniversary celebration of the Chiefs, and we catch up with someone in their history. How about former Chiefs head coach Herm Edwards? He joins us next.
Fesco in the morning.
We continue to celebrate 60th anniversary of the Chiefs each and every Wednesday at 9:15. We'll bring you a chat with someone instrumental in the Chiefs history over the 60 years, former coaches, some front office people, maybe former player or two. But this week's guest, Herm Edwards, the former Chiefs head coach, now, of course, the head coach of Arizona State, the collegiate ranks. But you had a chance to catch up with Herm.
Yes, I did. And it was fun reminiscing, talking a little bit about the old days. And you get these guys going and telling stories, and you really find out how much they loved it here in Kansas City.
Well, I think, you know, Marty being a veteran coach and had a DNA of what he wanted to do offensively, and when you have a back like Christian Okoye and Barry Word and a great offensive line, you kind of know what you're going to do offensively. And then defensively, to draft Derek Thomas and have Neil Smith and all those great players in the secondary, Albert Lewis, Kevin Ross, Deron Cherry was there for a little while as well. You know, he built a defense that get after the passer, and he had a running game that traveled. And that was kind of our DNA, hard physical football team. And everyone knew it. You know, we had a certain style of how we were going to play, had a great kicker. That helps as well. And, you know, that's kind of the brand of football that Marty wanted to play.
talk with Herm Edwards here on 610 Sports Radio. And did you ever think when you left for Tampa, like, was Kansas City ultimately your dream job to come back and be a head coach there? Or did you not have those aspirations when you first left Kansas City?
Well, when I left with Tony, first of all, I had no aspirations of being a head coach. I was going to stay with Tony as long as I could stay with him and just work with him, because I had so much fun coaching the secondary, being assistant head coach. But Tony was grooming me to become a head coach. And the league knew it. Paul Tagliabue was instrumental in this. They wanted diversity. And, you know, I had gone through all the measures to put myself in position to get an opportunity. And lo and behold, I got an opportunity. Now, when the trade came about, that was interesting because, as I say, I was indebted to the Chiefs. They gave me my first job in the NFL as a scout. I was indebted to the Hunt family and Lamar, and the relationships I had with Lamar early when I first got there. And I can remember Clark coming in there as a young kid when we were in there scouting and just sitting in the room. And I can remember having conversations with him. You know, he was a young kid, you know. And I was like the scout kind of slash assistant secondary guy working with Tony. It's just kind of interesting.
Well, it is. And then you finally get traded, if you will, because you were technically traded here to the Kansas City Chiefs. What was that like for you to kind of come full circle with everything?
Well, it is. It is full circle. And, you know, our intentions was to, and Lamar knew it, that we needed to build a team with young players through the draft. And that was the mindset. And lo and behold, we were able to do that. Just couldn't find a quarterback. But we drafted a lot of good players. And then eventually I think it came to fruition. Those guys ended up being good players. 6-7 of them were Pro Bowl players at the end, you know. So my mission was to rebuild an organization through the draft. And I was excited about that because that cut my teeth on being a scout, you know, and to work for the Hunt family, it was special. And I still, you know, look there's what, three teams that I pull for? Probably. You know, maybe four, I should say. And it's the teams I played for or worked for. You know, I'm always going to pull for the Jets. I'm always going to pull for the Chiefs. I'm going to pull for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, that's just me. I'm loyal to people, and I'm loyal to organizations because they gave me a great opportunity.
You mentioned you just couldn't find the quarterback. Why was that such a process here in Kansas City? Save Joe Montana, it was like just a process of ever trying to find a quarterback.
Well, and if you remember, all the quarterbacks that had come there, even when they had success, were from different organizations.
Yeah.
I mean, there was never one drafted. They were all, like, toward the end of their careers. You mentioned Joe. You mentioned Steve DeBerg, David Craig, Trent Green. Trent Green came with coach from the Rams, you know. So we never got in a position to get one. You know, the guy we wanted to get was Matt Ryan. We just couldn't get him.
Right.
You know, they were ahead of us. We were open. So it didn't work out.
Yeah. What about traveling with Joe and Marcus and being part of that? What was that like?
I had a lot of fun. I mean, you know, Marcus Allen, we're really close. People don't realize this. I recruited Marcus Allen when he came out of high school.
Oh, wow.
At San Diego State. I was at San Diego State. He was in Lincoln High School in San Diego. And so our relationship goes that far. I was a senior. He was a senior in high school. And we've been friends ever since. I mean, you know, it was funny because when we got Marcus and Joe Montana, you realize the power of being a celebrity. And we had stars on our team, like Derek, you know, we had Derek Thomas, we had Neil. We had some good players, really good players. But when Joe and Marcus arrived, it was kind of interesting because the media was doubled right away when Joe Montana came to our football team. And I would laugh at the players. I said, yeah, you guys are stars. I said, this is a celebrity. This Joe Montana guy is a celebrity, right? And I tell you what, Joe was marvelous for us. I mean, humility, and he was a prankster. You know, him and David Craig would always come in my office because the quarterbacks met upstairs, and they would always go coaching the secondary. And I'm a neat guy. I'm an organized guy. Everything, all papers are in line, you know. And they would be down in the room, the quarterback room upstairs, and I'd come from downstairs because that's where the meetings rooms were then. And sure enough, my office would be ramshacked. They'd have paper scattered all over the place. And for like for about a month, I was going, who's doing this? And then finally, I go to practice, and Joe and David Craig are laughing. They go, man, we get you every day, man. I said, you knucklehead. I mean, they would just turn chairs over, papers on the floor, because they knew I was a neat freak, right?
Right.
And it would just drive me crazy. I said, who's doing this? And it was them.
Herm, when I say you have regret for not winning for Lamar, do you agree with that statement?
Yeah. I mean, we get in the playoffs our first year, and that was the first time, I think, the first-year head coach ever had done that. But it was an older team.
Yeah.
You know, and then Trent goes down. And then the next year, you know, basically retires. And then you have a bunch of young players, but you can't get over the hump because the quarterback is so critical for you. You know, and so I feel bad. But here again, and what I really felt bad for, you know, Lamar passes away, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that was shocking to everybody, you know, that he passed away. I'm glad we could get in the playoffs the first year there. But then after that, it was just a matter of, I'm going to play young guys. And look, I'm playing young guys right now. I'm playing 28 freshmen.
Wow.
I got a freshman quarterback. I got a freshman left tackle, a freshman right guard, but I got a quarterback. You know, and look, there's going to be some heartache, you know, as we go down this road, but it's almost the same thing for me here. I'm trying to build a program, and I'm in really my first year of really having a chance, you know, I've really recruited players. My first year here, I only had 8 scholarships when I got here. So I had 25 this year, and we're kind of building the program. So I'm trying to build this, you know, the same way I kind of did in Kansas City. But I think I got myself a quarterback.
You got to have that. So speaking of that quarterback, when I say Patrick Mahomes, what do you say?
Oh, he is extremely talented. He's got some gifts. I mean, just some gifts you can't teach. And I think that's why Andy went up to get him. You know, Andy knew what he was looking at. Andy was looking at Brett Favre talent and Aaron Rodgers talent as far as his ability to move in the pocket and throw the ball from different platforms. He has tremendous arm talent and great vision of the field. You know? So, I mean, when you have a guy like that, I mean, there's going to be 6 or 7 unannounced plays he makes every game that you can't coach. And you can't defend because you don't know when it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, defense is all a matter of, you look at the tape, you look at the system, you say, okay, they're going to do this. But then there's the 6 unannounced plays that he makes just ad libbing. And those guys are good enough where they stretch the field where he can reach any part of the field. He can throw the ball everywhere. He can touch every spot on the field with the talent he has.
I'll leave you with this. If there is one thing you could do over with your time, either the first time or second time in Kansas City, what would it be?
There's no do-overs for me. I don't believe in that. I believe, you know, I'm a man of great faith. I just, you know, you walk by faith, not by sight. And you just take every opportunity you can and you make the best of it. And I did that. I've done that my whole life. I don't regret anything in my life. I really don't.
Very nice.
You make a decision, you go with it.
Herm, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much, man. It was good to kind of go down memory lane with you a little bit.
Thank you, my friend.
Herm Edwards with us here on 610 Sports Radio, part of our 60th anniversary series, looking back at people who made this organization what it is today. And Herm, definitely one of those guys, from a scout to an assistant to the head coach. I mean, he did it all here in Kansas City.
Did he judge a barbecue contest?
He probably did.
I'm sure he probably did.
I would imagine he did. Yeah.
Just hearing his voice makes you smile.
It does. Yeah, it really does.
I think of the Hard Knocks, too. All his great quotes from Hard Knocks.
Right.
Your chance to win $1,000. Be listening for that key word. That's right. 1,000 in the 30s coming up in just a few minutes. And HBO might have the script. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
It's 1,000 on the 30s. Text the code word VAULT to 72881. That's VAULT, VAULT, VAULT to 72881. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station in Kansas City, giving you a chance at up to $8,000 each weekday. Listen on the 30s from 9 to 5. Your next chance coming up at 10:30. Complete rules at 610sports.com. VAULT. VAULT, VAULT to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Well, Fasco, for a long time you've talked about the script that is the NFL, the tinfoil hat of which you have fashioned into a helmet, has fit you well over the years. Mm-hmm. But maybe HBO has the script already for the NFL.
This could be it. Some of this sounds legit. Some of it obviously is Hollywooded up, and we'll get into what's clearly Hollywooded up. But some of it, I think, sounds legit, and I'm on board with.
So the HBO show Ballers, which stars The Rock, this season The Rock, it's not his character on the show, but his name is Spencer. He has purchased.
Does not look like a Spencer.
He has purchased the Chiefs. The Chiefs were for sale.
Mm-hmm.
They were fed up. The Hunt family was fed up.
Why were they fed
with, up? With Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill, and they sold the team.
Why were they fed up
that
with
was
that
the,
stuff?
That was the narrative to start the season. Well, it was probably filmed a little. Maybe they thought what the outcome was going to be. I don't know.
Maybe.
So also part of this season is Patrick Mahomes is looking at a contract extension.
Of course he is, right?
Okay.
Who wouldn't be?
And so a few episodes ago, they discussed it, and they were trying to get in the neighborhood of Russell Wilson. Wilson, who just signed a four-year, $140 million contract.
Okay.
$65 million guaranteed.
Yeah, that's
and,
a lot.
And his agent's kind of four. So the latest episode, which aired on Sunday, they have now agreed to contract terms, $150 million, presumably for 4 years as well. They just went over Russell Wilson, four for 150, but also all guaranteed.
Today, we take the first step towards doing right by our players. And I am very proud to announce the signing of a historic deal for one of the league's most talented athletes. But first, I want to say thank you to Jason Antilotti and my old compadre, Joe Crutell, for getting the deal done. I am honored to announce that we've signed Patrick Mahomes to the largest fully guaranteed deal in NFL history.
And in the episode there, you heard the guy who they call Boss Man, it's clearly Jerry Jones, is not happy that the Chiefs have signed a fully guaranteed contract with their quarterback. But how about 4 years, $150 million, all guaranteed?
Yeah.
That's $37.5 million per season over 4 years for Patrick Mahomes. I actually would do that.
Yeah, I would too. I would have no problem doing that. He's the best player in the NFL, and he is the only player in the NFL that deserves a contract
and
of this magnitude.
When
guaranteed.
They do it, I expect The Rock to be at the actual press conference announcing the deal for Patrick Mahomes.
I don't think
can
this,
we do that?
I don't think this seems too far out in left field, Josh, at all. Like $150 million fully guaranteed for Patrick Mahomes, who is the new face of the NFL. He's obviously the face not only of the Kansas City Chiefs, but of this town right now. I think he's done so much for the NFL in his little time out there. He is so much more valuable to the NFL than even the four for 150. I mean, when you think about that, $37.5 million a year is what you're paying for a guy who's amazing at his job and has really done a great job in kind of, you know, taking the next step for the NFL and finding that next quarterback, that next guy who's going to take over for Tom Brady. Well, we have our answer now, and it's Patrick Mahomes. And I think ultimately $150 million guaranteed would be a drop in the bucket over the next 4 years. The key part of there is guaranteed, but Kirk Cousins got all that guaranteed money back in the day, 2 years ago, the 80-some million dollars guaranteed. So if he's getting that kind of money guaranteed, there's no reason that Patrick Mahomes shouldn't get $150 million guaranteed. But I don't see the contract being a simple contract like four for 150 fully guaranteed. I would imagine once Mahomes and the Chiefs do sign the contract, it's going to be a contract that has escalators in it. Either his salary goes up by the same percentage that the salary cap goes up each year, or his salary always has to be a certain percentage higher than the highest paid guy at that position.
Which was part of his fictitious agents, which was not Lee Steinberg, had pitched that in an earlier episode.
Yeah.
They wanted salary escalators, which I think in real terms makes sense. I think
sure it does.
I think if I'm agents, I'm starting to do that. Like, I'm going to go past the highest paid one every time, or I'm going to go up based on the percentage of how the mm-hmm. salary cap goes up.
Right. And if it goes down, years. You get a thing in there. If it goes down, we're not going
do
down.
Not, yeah. Yeah, you do. Yeah. I will only go below this level. I would probably work in a bunch of those things if I'm an agent, if
yeah.
I could.
And I think that's fair. And I think ultimately four for 150 fully guaranteed by the time it's all said and done is going to be, say, a 10% rise every year. So you're looking at 37.5 the first year. You're looking at about 40 the next year. You're looking at about 44 in year three. And you're looking at about 49 in year four.
And much like real life, we don't have the exact contract terms of right. how the contract is laid out via HBO Ballers.
Right. But if you're looking at a 10% increase.
SpotRac hasn't had a chance to go over the HBO numbers.
Right, and how the contract language
and break it down to see how it factors in. But, yeah, you can expect that it's probably not a flat fee over those 4 years. It'd be an escalating, mm-hmm. you know, but a $37.5 million average.
And let's say he does
which
that,
I would
though.
Totally I mean, do. And, I would have no problem guaranteeing him money
no,
either.
No, I wouldn't either.
For a four-year span. Now, if you're talking longer, if you're talking, you know, initially, remember when there were thoughts of like a 10-year contract
right.
those don't happen really in the NFL right now. But if you're looking at 10, those I would get a little itchy. I think the baseball ones that go out that distance, I'm really nervous about. I would never want to sign a 10-year contract with anybody.
Not in the
like
NFL.
The Pujols, the Bryce Harper. No, none of those things. It's like, what are the odds it's going to pan out at the end? 4 years, though? Am I going to get 4 years of production out of Patrick Mahomes? Pretty sure I am.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I am. I would have no problem guaranteeing him that money.
No, I wouldn't either. I think he's the one guy in the NFL where you could feel good about guaranteeing that money too. And he would earn it both on the field and off the field. He wouldn't get foolish with his money. Like he really is the perfect creation of the next wave of quarterbacks. We're looking at Tom Brady on TV right now, and you think about him and how perfect he's been both on and off the field. Patrick Mahomes is that same way. He is perfect on the field. He's perfect off the field. There's not much wrong with Patrick Mahomes. There aren't many flaws in who he is. And so you would feel confident about giving those type of players the kind of money. And I think when you talk to general managers in sports, and as I'm going through the interview process for the Royals managerial position with Dayton, you find out a lot about how they decide to give players
money. Just
let him
go. He's on a roll.
And if they want to make sure that they're investing in the right players, you don't want to give somebody a big chunk of change and then they go out there and blow it or change as a person or stop working because they got that money. And I think you would be safe with Patrick Mahomes knowing that if you gave him 4 years for $150 million, Josh, he would continue to go out there and work hard to earn that money. He wouldn't sit back fat and happy and just cash a paycheck and make you waste your money. He would go out there and probably outperform that contract of $150 million guaranteed. And so that's why I would feel confident about giving Patrick Mahomes that money, because I know he would go out there and continue to work and wouldn't change as a person.
So maybe HBO's on it. So keep an eye on that.
It could be.
Could be indeed on it. And again, when it happens, I want to make sure The Rock is announcing.
I do too.
The contract for Pat.
Or Stuart Smallwood, or whatever his name is.
Stuart Smalley?
Yeah. Whoever, what's his name in the show? Stuart Smallwood?
Oh, Spencer Strassmore?
Yeah,
yes. Either way. Big finish coming up, and solutions. We've got them. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
You want solutions? We got solutions. Need you on that wall, Fesco. We want you on that wall. But everybody can point to the problems, right? Here's what's happening with the Chiefs. Here's what's happening with their run defense. Here's what's happening with their offensive line right now. But how are we going to fix this thing? And how are we going to fix this thing quick? Certainly the Chiefs tried with, from a personnel perspective, signed a couple of guys that'll be in this week. And they may get pressed into service this week too. Stefan Wisniewski, an offensive lineman, played with Philadelphia. 8 NFL seasons, guard and center with Oakland, Jacksonville, most recently the Eagles. Defensive lineman Terrell McClain, 6 NFL teams he's played for. 2018 in Atlanta, the last team he has played with. Both street free agents, but brought in to help out with the injury stuff going on with the Chiefs right now. We'll see if see if Rick Burkholder comes to the microphone today. If that's the case, it's usually not great news. But there are a bunch of injuries, which the Chiefs may sort out today as they head back to practice.
Yeah, and you can hear them right here at about 11:45 or so with Show and Vern. We carry that live for you here on 610 Sports Radio, the Wednesday afternoon press conferences, or Wednesday late morning, early afternoon press conferences when they will speak. So you'll have all your information coming up at about 11:45, about 2 hours from right now, right here on Show and Vern on 610 Sports Radio. But, you know, we've dissected this thing now for a couple of days. It's time to move forward, right? It's time to start moving into Houston, focusing on the Houston Texans and getting ready for the week. The licking of the wounds is over. It's time to move on, and we've addressed two areas, I think, this week so far
that we view as problem areas for the Chiefs, and that is, I think, offensive line and run defense. And so I'm going to offer up some solutions. You're going to offer up some solutions to kind of fix these.
We're here to help, man.
Yeah, we've told them you suck and you got problems, so all right, what's the solution? Well, solutions, we got them. So for the offensive line, for me, I think we should get back into the short passing game. Quick drops by Patrick Mahomes, quick slant patterns over the middle, quick out patterns, things like that that get the ball in and out of his hand very quickly. It allows the offensive line to not have to block for so long, and it allows him to get rid of the ball quick, and then nobody will fall on his ankle, hopefully, and will keep him upright. We also need to get that running game involved more, because I think if you run more running plays, it opens things up a little bit. And I think they still need to get the running game going more, because they didn't establish it at all last week. And finally, Blake Bell, he needs to stay in, or somebody needs to stay in and help Cam Irving with J.J.
Nephew
Watt.
Boogie.
That's right, exactly. My nephew over there. So you got to get him in, and somebody in, to help Cam Irving with J.J. Watt, because that's the last thing I want this week, Josh, is J.J. Watt getting the Patrick Mahomes and having his way with Cam Irving. And hopefully Cam Irving can figure out how to block this week, because the last couple of weeks he's been dreadful, and it has not only cost the Chiefs a win, but it's potentially cost them Patrick Mahomes' ankle right now.
Definitely need help on that side, whether it's having the running back help Chip, whether it's the extra tight end over there. I think that warrants it. I'm still, like, questioning what the heck was going on with LeSean McCoy. And if he was missing pass protection, is this the reason he couldn't play, that they just didn't trust? They knew they needed help on that offensive line, and he couldn't provide the help out of the backfield? Right. I don't know. But whatever you can do to help out the left tackle is good. I'll take you one further with the short passes. More screen game. Chiefs are really good at running screens.
Yeah.
Andy is the best at designing screens. They're super effective. Yeah, they turned it over last week on the Shady McCoy fumble, but it wasn't like it wasn't designed great and it wasn't a big gainer.
Right,
it just fumbled at the end of it. It's also, I think, best for the offensive line. I think the offensive line does better when they're out there in space running around and getting after people as opposed to what they normally do. I think it's better for the offensive line. I think it's it opens up a lot of things offensively, probably better, more effective than their run game could be.
Mm-hmm.
And also you get the added benefit, it gets the ball to Patrick's hands quick.
Yeah.
And I don't have him standing back there and getting stepped on and all those things. I think it would suit things really well to get back to the screen game.
Yeah.
They're so good at it.
They really are. I mean, it really is a big part of their game with the running backs. I don't know if the tight end screen necessarily works that much anymore after that Philadelphia game 2 years ago and Travis Square. Like, people are onto this now, right?
Give me seven. I mean, not everyone has to break a 20-yard gain or 30-yard gain, but if that can be your first down play to get you seven, I mean, come on and do it. I like the tunnel screen with the tight end, though. I think it's a great look. Try everybody in that
it's
screen.
It's so
and
hard
see how
to
works.
Stop, too. Yeah. I mean, especially
they're
when
really
you get that convoy out in front of you. And I think it's a really hard play to stop. But maybe if you get Tyreek Hill back, and maybe we'll know more about him a little bit later on today when Andy speaks to the media, if Tyreek Hill's going to be back in the fold, if he's back in the fold, maybe you get it to him in the screen game. Maybe Mecole Hardman is a guy that you can utilize. There are guys that you can utilize in the screen game. You don't have to move the ball downfield on one throw and score a touchdown, you know, from 80 yards out every single time. And sometimes I think Andy likes to do stuff for show more than to do stuff that makes sense. And I've been saying the last couple of weeks, when you have a defense that is bleeding out, like this defense is bleeding out right now, you probably got to do what the Indianapolis Colts did. And the blueprint that they used to beat you last week, that should be the blueprint you use for your own team. And that's keep the ball and possess the ball and run the football, because that keeps your defense off the field. And that's something that I said the last couple of weeks that the Chiefs need to do a better job of doing, is giving their defense an opportunity to get a rest on the sidelines. Don't put them right back out there because you threw an 80-yard pass and got a touchdown and everybody's excited. That just means your defense has to go back out there and give up an 11-minute drive to the opposition to tie the game. So I think they need to play a little bit more ball control this week against the Houston Texans than they have played in the past. I don't need to see 30 or 40 points every single game. I need to see wins, and I think if you try to score 30 or 40 every single week, you're not doing a service to your defense. You're not properly managing the team if you're doing that, because your defense needs an opportunity to get some rest, especially with the injuries that they have and some new players that have joined the fray. I mean, they've got to find a way to play better complementary football.
What's your solution to the run defense?
Well, my solution to the run defense is put eight in the box, dare them to throw. I mean, I think that's what you have to do. Stack that box and make some plays. And I would really bring in Daniel Sorensen more, Josh, and run blitz a lot more. than they're doing right now, because I think you got to change it up. I think you got to go a little bit drastic to stop this run. You got to give your fans confidence, and you've got to give those players confidence as well, because the last thing you want to see is Houston receive the football and they go out there and Carlos Hyde rips one for 5 yards on the first play of the game, and then, you know, Duke Johnson comes back with four on the next play, and then you're facing a 3rd-and-1, you quarterback sneak first down, and the chains move. The fans will get restless very fast out there at Arrowhead, and you don't want that to happen. And you want your players feeling confident as well that what they're doing out there matters and it's having success. And so for me, when I look at the run game, I think you do have to go a little bit drastic. I'm going to man up one-on-one with their wide receivers, and I'm going to say, all right, let's see what you can do, and let's go for it. And for me, I would rather take my chances of getting beat in the pass game than getting shredded in the run game right now, because that's the area that everybody's looking at and everybody's talking about, and you need to develop some confidence there.
I don't like it, though, this week.
And I understand that.
I don't like it this week with these receivers and this quarterback.
I get you.
Because I think yes, I go, let's do something drastic and different and make them beat you in the pass game. They may find that they can shred you apart in the pass game, too, but, like, be different for a moment. My solution would be kind of going back to what Andy Reid said the other day about kind of trust. The linebackers made some tackles this past week. That was encouraging. Now, make downhill tackles, right?
Right.
Trust that you can get into that gap, that you know your assignment, and you can get there and make plays. So my solution is linebackers play downhill a little bit more.
Yeah.
And Frank Clark, I don't care. I don't need people making excuses say he's setting the edge.
I don't know what that even means.
Okay? He's doing these things. I need him to make plays. I need him to make plays. He made a tackle for loss in the backfield. Fantastic. I need more of that. I need him to specifically make plays.
Setting the edge is almost like baseball, like nerdism. Like, I'm smarter than you, and I know exactly what
Tyson
I'm looking
Jackson
at.
Set the edge for how many years?
For how many years?
He didn't
did he do
anything.
Yeah.
I want a guy to make plays.
Right.
I don't want them to set up plays for others. If you're Frank Clark, I want him making plays. And then I want the linebackers to play a little more with their ears pinned back.
Yeah, so. I do too. I think Frank Clark needs to make plays. I think he needs to be in the backfield. He needs to pass the eye test this week, Josh. He really does. I mean, the time is now.
There's our solutions. We're just trying to help, Jeez. We're just trying to help, man. Big finish.
It's time for the big finish.
Wait a minute! What's happening to my special purpose?
I'll have what she's having.
Brought to you by EverNewClinics.com.
So Snoop Dogg performed at KU on Friday. I'm sure you heard that in the news, right?
Yeah.
And caused a little consternation, forced them to apologize to those that were offended and what have you. Snoop's not offended, though, at all. He appeared yesterday on the Howard Stern show on Sirius XM, and Howard asked him about did you going to visit some college campus or something?
Wasn't there some college that recently hired you to come and play there or something? Someplace? And then they freaked out and tried to throw you out of there?
I mean, because I brought, you know, stripper poles and and money guns.
You had money guns that shot out Snoop money, right?
Yeah, shot out $100 bills at them.
Why would people hire Snoop Dogg to come to a concert and then get pissed off when he's Snoop Dogg?
Audience enjoyed that. I don't know what the they're talking about.
Who came and told you to get the out of there?
Nobody.
What do you mean? But I heard there was some sort of thing where, like, they were like, you have to leave. They apologize for your appearance.
That's a lie.
Is it a lie?
That's a mother lie.
What ended up happening?
Time of my life, I enjoyed myself. I got with the basketball teams. I just think it was more the publicity of what I did.
Mm-hmm.
They had to cover it up, and I respect them, and I wasn't going to put no smut on their name and say they did anything wrong because they invited me to come do what I do. When you pay for Snoop Dogg, you're going to get Snoop Dogg.
You're damn right. I'd be pissed if you didn't do that.
No, 100%.
When you pay for Snoop Dogg, you're going to get Snoop Dogg.
That's right.
That's his clap back yesterday. Seth Rogen in the background chuckling. They actually brought him into because they're the foremost weed experts.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen and Snoop Dogg. So that's why they were on the show. But did ask about the appearance of KU. Hey, man. Pay for Snoop, you get Snoop.
I'm sitting here rubbing my eyes because I'm like, I can't believe this is where we are with this.
Again, to those that were offended, the show wasn't for you.
Right.
And it was actually a show to get the players at your school that you want to see play for your basketball team.
Correct.
And that's what it took.
Yeah.
To get Snoop Dogg to make an appearance.
I
that's what it is.
I understand.
You're offended. It's kind of on you at this point.
I understand that there are people that are upset about that. And if you are upset about that, don't be blaming Snoop Dogg on this. Blame KU for scheduling Snoop Dogg. But you knew what you were going to get when you scheduled Snoop Dogg. I mean, we had Bill Self on a week ago.
There's nobody to blame for anything.
No, there's not. But I mean, but people want to be mad and hold people accountable for things, Josh. That's the way we live. This is the society in which we're in right now. There are people that are mad that Snoop Dogg performed at KU. And if you want to be upset that KU hired Snoop Dogg, okay, fine. I understand that he's not your cup of tea. But if you went to the show and were offended by what you saw, that's on you.
Yeah.
That's on you. Because, oh, Snoop Dogg's performing. Oh, okay, let me get my sweater that I crocheted in Topeka and roll over to Lawrence and think I'm going to see something, you know, different. No, you're going to see a Snoop Dogg show. And again, it's not about you. It was about those recruits. But if you look at the University of Kansas and are like, man, I don't know why they scheduled Snoop Dogg. I'm not into that. I understand that. That's KU's anger that you need to be directed towards. Not mad at Snoop Dogg because he just did what he was hired to do, and that's perform.
Frankly, from what I can tell, Snoop Dogg don't care.
No, nor should he.
He does not care.
Nor should
one
he
bit if you were offended by.
Why would he?
Smut on a name and say they did anything wrong because they invited me to come do what I do. When you pay for Snoop Dogg, you're going to get Snoop Dogg.
Damn right. I'd be pissed if you didn't do that.
No, 100%. Yeah.
How about Seth Rogen? Great dynamite drop in there, Seth. 100%.
No such thing as bad publicity.
No.
So, Snoop Dogg in the house. That is your Big Finish, brought to you by Evernew, Kansas City's first intimate health clinic for men and women. Proven results for good, very good. Visit evernewclinics.com. That's evrnuclinics.com. Show and Vern, they come your way next on 610 Sports Radio.
If you're a woman who's been
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.